Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome back. A beautiful day in Sydney, and it's at the beautiful SCG where we are for Anzac Day today. At 4 o'clock, the Roosters will take on the Dragons. Right now, the Tigers are taking on Manly, and Tigers lead 6-0. That score thanks to Tyre Power. And right here at the SCG at the moment, the Australian Defence Force is taking on the Turkish side. The Australian Defence Force side leads 10-0, but the Turkish side have found a little bit of rhythm because Australia went in for two quick tries, but now Turkey are sort of going okay now, although they're working it off their own end. And we looked at their history here, Paul. Their biggest win was against Japan. They beat Japan 60-0 at St Mary's. And the Philippines has given them their biggest defeat. Philippines beat them 29-16.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not even good. 13 points.
And some of the current squad doing their best out there, Arda Dalcic, Ibrahim Karana, Berit Kaya and Volkan Ur. So hopefully they can come back and get a try. They got the Dragons jumpers on, which
they're going all right here. They just got a penalty.
Mm.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'm actually enjoying watching it and just seeing blokes run and crash into each other. Yeah. And there's no wrestling all that rubbish. Like they're actually getting into each other a little bit and a bit of collision, a bit of shoulders in the tackles. Not this catch and release that we all do these days.
Oh, it was a big hit.
It's a cracking day here. Have you seen it look better, the SCG?
It just got snotted bad.
No, it's looking
perfect
beautiful
conditions
today.
For rugby league, Anthony. Mm. Absolutely brilliant.
One of the great traditional parts of Sydney, we all remember coming to the Easter show here as kids, or the motor show when the motor show was here, or I went to the motor show. I go and see the A9X Taranas and the SLRs and the GT Fords.
What about the old Geminis?
The old Gemini Sandpipers and whatnot.
The Sandman?
Yeah, the Sandman.
Yeah, the Sandman. You don't see many Sandmen around anymore.
No, not anymore, sadly.
And, of course, for those of us who are old enough to remember the old sports ground, which was where the Roosters used to play back next door.
No, I'm not that old.
So, actually, it was next door. Yeah, well, you would remember because I can remember.
Wasn't that old.
Well, they didn't knock it down till I was 22, so you'd have been 18.
What's that, 50 years ago?
No, it was only, actually 33 years ago, if you must know. But, boys, let's talk a bit of footy. Last night, the Doggies beat the Sharks 18 points to 12. The Sharkies got over the line about a dozen times but just couldn't get a try awarded. But it was great to see Trent and the boys at the Doggies get a win. They have tried hard I think we saw against Melbourne that they tried hard. They competed where they could. And last night it was great to see them get a win. The Doggies 18 over the Sharks 12. And some great individual performances. They got a lead and then they just had to tackle and tackle. But Trent was so emotional, Hoops, at the end of that game.
Well, the vision of Trent on the sidelines, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it was magic. But it's exactly why you would never want to be an NRL rugby league head coach. Like, he was riding absolutely every play. He was up, out of his seat. He was back down again. At the end of the game, some of the emotion obviously flowed over. And I think he might add one or two tears to the eye. But Canterbury Bankstown, look, they've worked that hard to secure a victory like that. Cronulla had their chances. They can't say they were robbed. They can't say they didn't have a red or crack at trying to win it. But as you touched on, Anthony, I think they bombed at least six tries.
Mm.
And look, just credit to the Bulldogs. What do you love, think?
Oh, this bloke, he's dropped the ball in the play of the ball. He's got up, the ref's called knock on. He's thrown his mouth guard. blew at the ref.
10-0 ADF over Turkey. Australian Defence Force and West Tigers 6,
Bankwest
Manly
6-0.
The other important game. But boys, on the back of all that, the Doggies getting a win over the Sharkies, and a game as Sharkies probably in the big picture should have won that game as they try and stay sort of in and around the top eight. But the talk that won't go away is the talk of Matt Burton wanting to backflip on his deal with the Doggies, and it's kind of been helped along by the fact that Brian Fletcher, the boss of the Panthers, and come out and more or less said he doesn't think it's a bad idea if Burton wants to backflip. On the back of that, at the press conference last night, we've had Trent Barrett comment on it, the Bulldogs coach. Here's what he said.
Guys, what about this talk about
Matt
Burton? He would love watching tonight. Is he backflipping?
No, no. I speak to Matty regularly. And watching that tonight, Matty knows he's coming to a club that's got some backbone. You know, and I'm just happy for Matt that he's in first grade, he's playing well, and we'll keep improving the joint so when he gets here, he's going to walk into a really good club, and this is a great club with a hell of a lot of history.
Are you surprised or disappointed with Penrith's comments that he's going to be better off staying there next year if he was to truly develop?
Yeah, I don't really want to get into that. I think all in all, it probably just puts pressure on the player. On Matty, and you know, we tried to get Matt early, but went through all the right channels to do that, and you know, but that's water under the bridge now. I'm just really happy he's playing first grade and playing really well. He's a good kid and a really good player. I think everyone's seeing now, and Penrith are certainly seeing what I saw in him at training 18 months ago.
Well, the first thing, Gordy, that sticks out to me there, and maybe it's just me because I'm only a footy fan. I'm not in the dressing shed and around the coach. The first thing that sticks out to me there is Trent saying he's regularly in contact with Matt Burton. Is that okay? I mean, the guy plays for another club at this stage.
Oh, yeah. It's a sticky one, isn't it?
It happens, Anthony, in the game these days with...
Yeah.
Technology's obviously changed the world. And look, let's not forget, Trent was the assistant coach at Penrith.
But he's
last
not now.
Year. No, but he's got a rapport with Matt.
Mm.
Clearly.
But I don't know. If you're Ivan Cleary, do you want a rival NRL coach constantly in the ear of one of your players?
Probably not.
Mm.
That's why it's sticky. I think I'm with Gordy. It's a sticky one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
well, and the other thing is now, Trent's of the opinion that Matty Burton won't. Pull out of the deal. Before we go to Matty
Burton...
Penrith
couldn't afford him anyway. So that was the problem, wasn't
it? That's a good point, Gordy, yeah.
Penrith didn't have the money in the salary cap. And let's be honest, I think what the Dogs signed him for, I think his chips are going up as we speak. Yeah, if they had to sign him now with the Cowboys and all these guys looking for a playmaker, I think he'd be worth more.
For sure. The Panthers re-signed Isaiah Yeo, Jerome Luai, and then they're still in negotiations with Tyrone May. But obviously at Penrith, he's got Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai in front of him, and then Tyrone May is also capable of playing in the halves as well. So I think from Matt's perspective, he saw himself as a first-choice 5'8". That's the position he wants to play. That's why he chose to sign to Canterbury.
Penrith made the call. Penrith, they prioritised...
Luai.
Jerome Luai over him.
Correct.
So they made the decision for him. And
it's
when
a
the
good decision.
And,
what is it, six and one, half a dozen the other, you know, with both
exactly.
of those guys?
Yeah, and that's right. So he has to – he wanted to play first grade footy. He went to a club where he's going to get that opportunity. He's going to a club where he's going to get that opportunity. He was always going to be the player the minute there was an injury in the Panthers' back line. He was always going to be the player they brought in. Because he's not just a pure 5'8". He's so athletic, he's big, he's fast, and he plays that way. So that was always going to happen. What's happening now was inevitable. There was going to be a point sometime this year where they're going to call him up and it was going to go out, and he was always going to play well because he's a young kid on the rise.
Now, what about this fact that the boss of Penrith, the chief executive, Brian Fletcher, admits he wants to convince the young superstar to backflip on his deal. Does this say more about the issue between Penrith and the Bulldogs? Or, I mean, is this just Brian Fletcher rattling the Bulldogs' cage?
Could be.
I mean, it seems a...
Yeah, good chance.
Big statement.
Look, let's not forget, it was only a couple of months ago when ultimately I think Ivan Cleary picked up the phone to Trent Barrett and basically said, Trent, what's going on? Like, because it was on the back page of the paper. It was in the newspapers every week. Matt Burton wants a release. Matt Burton's manager, who is Dave Riolo, is continuing to agitate for a release. How do we get him out? You know, the Bulldogs want him now, all that sort of thing. And Penrith, to their credit, just said, no, he's got a contract. He's staying here. He won't be going anywhere. It did get a little bit messy behind the scenes, and that's when...
Yeah, this could be just a bit of a square-up.
That's it.
Fletch just playing mind games with them.
All right, well, there is some audio of Matty Burton, I think, on Channel 9 this morning, responding to the thought that he might backflip. Here it is.
Yeah, I'm fully committed to the Bulldogs next year. So looking forward to that. But my main focus this year is just, you know, just focusing on my job here at Panthers. And, yeah, I'm really loving it at the moment.
Have Penrith asked to keep you at the club for a little bit longer?
Nah, not at the moment. I haven't been asked at the moment, so...
All right, well, there he is, Matt Burton. Well, I mean, he has quashed that rumour, but certainly...
Well, you could have just played that at the beginning, Anthony. Yeah. And we wouldn't have had to just spend 15 minutes talking
but
about it.
I mean...
Why'd we have to play Ring a Rose?
Hang on a second. Here we go. He's going to back you here, isn't he?
Hang on.
Paul Kent likes chicken twisties, so I like chicken twisties.
If you knew that audio was there, why did we have to do the dance?
I'll tell you why. Because I'm not 100% convinced in what people say in the media. If you must know.
In the media? You're in the media?
I am in the media. I'm talking about people. I'm the only one that tells the truth.
I know, listen,
nobody asked you. I know. Okay, all right. So it's only your show, Anthony.
He's not allowed to talk now.
Sunday afternoons with Anthony Maroon. I don't think this show's called that.
With great respect
on community radio.
With great respect to the player. Whatever Paul says, you say. You're a disgrace.
Even in your defence, you say you don't believe what you said. You got it from Burton himself.
That's what I'm saying, Paul.
Why wouldn't he be the first? Let me speak.
Now you're questioning the integrity of a good young kid.
I'm not questioning anyone's integrity. Let me speak. I'll storm out of this joint. I'll storm out.
Won't be the first time. Go sit at Macca's again.
I went and sat at the pub that day, not Macca's. What I'm saying, blokes, as you well know, is... I'm not saying the kid's a liar. I don't know the kid. I've got nothing but respect for what he says, for what anyone says. But, I mean, do we take it as gospel, everything we hear that everybody says? I mean, it's only round seven. It's worth tossing it up, isn't it? It's worth tossing it up. Maybe you might say, well, actually, I've heard different. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm. Right. Yeah, okay.
That's really a long bow you're just trying to...
I just think you blokes, honestly... You've just...
You actually didn't know what that audio...
I did know what that audio was.
I thought you were going to say you didn't know what that audio was.
If you knew, that's embarrassing.
I'm not embarrassed by it.
What sort of program are you putting together, mate?
How do you mean?
Seriously.
Well, mate, last week you told Tommy Trbojevic to go listen to another show. I don't care. Ever listen to me again. This week you throw to something that we could have just played the end.
And how's poor Tommy going now? He spent the whole week in.
You need to apologise to him. All of you do.
They're down 6-0. It was a difference.
He was the reason
last week when they put 36 on the Titans. Now they're down 6-0 to the Tigers.
You know what? After what you did to him. Paul, you need to ring.
I wasn't here. I didn't do the interview.
Gordon, need to pick up the phone, ring someone at Manly, and apologise. Apologise for the way you carried on last week while he was on the phone. All right. So, anything else you want to bring up?
No, all good, Anthony. I can understand where you were trying to take it.
I know where you're trying to get it. We're going to take a break. We're going to take it up a notch now because Maroon's trivia is coming up. And you know what the topic is today, boys?
What's that?
Cartoons, you palookas. As Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the SCG. The Anzac Day game is going to start at 4 o'clock today here, and it's going to be an absolute classic, as it always is, the Roosters and the Dragons at the beautiful SCG in Sydney. A beautiful day for footy. Maybe bring a jacket. You won't need too much more than that. Scores so far this round, Panthers 24, Knights 6. Souths came back to beat the Titans 40-30 after the Rabbitohs trailed 24-10 at halftime. Para 46, Broncos 6. Dogs 18, Sharks 12, Cowboys 26, Raiders 24. Right now, we have Manly 10, Tigers 6. Those scores are all thanks to our friends at Tyre Power's huge store-wide super sale. Buy three, get one free on Kumo passenger and SUV tyres, Paul.
Yeah, someone must have heard your apology to Tommy Turbo and relayed it to him out there on the field, because the moment you apologised for your little incursion last week, he's put on two tries for the... Eagles.
I've got nothing to apologise for. Ryan Girdler,
Hoops. Hang on. He's not even here to defend himself. Why are you? Ryan Girdler.
Oh, don't worry about Ryan Girdler.
Oh, we'll worry about Ryan Girdler, mate, because you just drive straight over the top of him.
He's been in the car listening, talking about him.
So what was the problem? He was being completely professional.
Well,
you lost control of the situation.
You lost the jockey. That's what happened.
You lost the jockey, jumped the fence and crashed into the crowd.
I was about to ask a question pertinent to the game, and you all just jumped all over me.
E.G.
In fact, you don't.
Like
you're not
the little battlers.
I actually had. You're not going to believe this. I had Tommy Turbo's mother on the phone apologising to me, and I said, "Mrs. Trebojevic, there's no need for that. There's no need for that." I said. Anyway, it's time.
What's her name
don't
again?
Drag
What's
Mrs. Trebojevic into again? This, mate. Oh. Don't drag her into this.
I think it's Nolan. I can't remember. Anyway, it's time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Okay, everybody, it's time for Maroon's Trivia. I was going to put this to bed, but then I noticed that I get photos every week from either Hoops or you, Paul, or sometimes I see Vonnie there or some of the staff from Fox at a trivia night, which is apparently a good trivia night. Where is that at? A Dick's somewhere?
Sackville Hotel.
Yeah. So the Sacky. And so I said, well, these blokes obviously love their trivia. Let's do trivia. We've got a lovely prize today too. The Manly are in again, by the way. I think it's 14-6. 14-6. Money to power. It's gone in. The only pleasure I get out of that, Hoops, is that you follow the Tigers. Anyway, let's do it. First with three correct
answers. What's the prize today?
The prize is there's two in the fridge there. There's two sandwiches from last time. The Rooster played here. So,
from the Swans game
fortnight ago. Used by 14th of Feb. If you lose, you got to eat one. Here you go. Cartoon trivia. Your name is your buzzer. Chucky Finster is a regular on what cartoon? Chucky Finster is a regular on what cartoon? 5 seconds for now.
Chucky Finster.
And that's it. The answer is the Rugrats. The Rugrats. Haven't any of you got kids? Question number two. On your buzzers, please. What type of animal is foghorn leghorn?
Paul.
He's a rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. He's a rooster. So Paul leads 1-0. Next question is, Daphne Blake is a regular on what cartoon? Daphne Blake is a regular on what cartoon? Daphne Blake. Hoops. Well, is there any topics I can do, Hoops, that you know? Stuff in your own house.
Hoops.
Hoops.
I reckon I've got this.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
That's correct, Scooby-Doo.
Daphne Blake. I didn't know she had a last name.
Yeah. Next week, topic, stuff in Hoops' own house.
One car.
Here we go, Gordy. Are we ready? Eric Cartman is a regular on what cartoon? Eric Cartman.
Oh, Hoops. Paul.
Hoops. Hoops.
South Park.
Oh, it's 2-1.
Hey.
Oh, it's 2-1. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Hoops.
Ev. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I can't believe it. He's won. He's won. Yeah.
There you go.
Mate, I'm very proud of you.
Thanks,
You've won
Anthony.
Yourself a nice prize.
Mate, you know what? These questions are all dependent on... They're, except for the Daphne one, which is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
They're all dependent on how old our kids are.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know what's interesting there, Paul?
Because, you know, like SpongeBob SquarePants, mate... Mm. That wasn't. I missed that because my daughter didn't watch that one.
I don't think there was one good
Bob the Builder.
Mate, there wasn't any Flintstones or Bugs Bunny. Oh, Foghorn Leghorn was the.
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn was a good question. A good especially one. Considering the Roosters are playing today.
I can see out of this, Paul, all I can observe out of this is. We've been doing it for like 12 months. You haven't complained until the week you lost. And then you go, didn't he? You let yourself down. All right, boys, 18-6 Manly. We'll take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the SCG in the beautiful city of Sydney. It's a lovely day for rugby league, and there will be one starting here at 4 o'clock. Dan's going to call it for you. Roosters and Dragons. It's going to be a great game. It always is the Anzac Day game. In the other game, though, Manly have struck back and they lead the West Tigers 18-6, and that score is thanks to tyre power. So far this round, Panthers continue on their winning way. 24-6 over the night. Souths 40, Titans 30, Para 46, Broncos 6, Dogs 18, Sharks 12, Cowboys 26, Raiders 24. So now every team has won a game. Panthers have not lost a game. That's how it looks at the moment. But in the fair dinkum department, it just hasn't got any better for the Broncos this year. We love Kevy. We want to see them succeed, and we probably think long-term they will succeed. But at the moment, well, it just hasn't started well. They're down there on 2 points again. They've only won the one game. They're in equal last position as they were last year, and they were absolutely pumped by Parramatta. So a lot of players, a lot of key players and some fringe first grade players are coming off contract at the Broncos. First of all, Gordy, let's go to you because this is a Brisbane thing. What's the word on the street? Is he just going to shed a whole bunch of players, Kevy?
Oh, well, you think he needs some like new players there for sure. Obviously, they're chasing a playmaker, like a seven or a six, someone that can man manage and help out Dearden or Croft, whoever stays there. I think that they need a fullback. Mazzacco is a really good player. He's safe, but he doesn't add much at fullback. I think fullback is, you know, one of the most dynamic positions in the game at the moment. And you look at all the sides on top and their fullbacks feature every week. And I just don't see him doing that. And I think everybody's on notice. Like, I just sort of wrote down some names that I think I would keep. And one's Xavier Coates, Young Turpin, Payne Haas, Jordan Rickey, Carrigan. I think each week they go out there and they're super consistent and do their job. And they're trying to sign Katoni Staggs. And I think that he's probably a must-keep buy as well. He's got so much X factor, pretty much like what a David Fifita can do. He can blow a game wide open. And I think all the rest would probably be playing for their contracts.
Well, that's a big rap to say he can do what David Fifita can do, Paul.
Yeah, look, the problem, I think, with the Broncos, Gordon, with their recruitment at the moment, is they're paying a lot of money to retain players. So we look at Staggs is getting offered a big contract at the moment in current negotiations. The Broncos have made him a priority. We got that little, the other one, Hoops, they signed the other day, and they re-signed him for a bit.
Brandon Perricora.
Perricora, yeah. And the problem is they're paying. So you pay overs to get to bring players from other clubs to your club. For some reason, the Broncos, where they're famous for people wanting to play there for less money because of the lifestyle in Brisbane, the cheaper rights in Brisbane, all that, the Bronx can't attract anyone, but they're paying overs to keep players already in the club.
Yeah. That's only because people are chasing their players too.
Yeah, but you know Gordy,
Katoni Staggs is a pretty hot. There wouldn't be too many clubs that wouldn't want him, you know, moving
but
to him.
So. They didn't just beat when Perricora got an offer from Canterbury. They didn't just beat the offer; they smashed it. So what's happening?
Well, they had to get him to stay.
Yeah, but
I know that's your point. I get it.
But that's my point. Yeah. So, but if you're spending all this money on retaining the players at your club, it doesn't leave money to get players from other clubs, and that's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, but
I think they've got to learn to prioritise. Like you look at they're becoming a bit like West. You're starting to look at the players that they're letting go.
Mate, the biggest issue they've got, Kenny, is their roster is bent so horribly out of shape, and it's got nothing to do. We've spoken about it previously. It's none of Kevy Walters's doing. He's just been left to try and clean up what's a steaming mess. If you look at the back-ended contracts, all these player options, big money for certain players, all those sorts of things, none of it's really worked. They lost David Fifita to the Gold Coast Titans last year. I'm not convinced Staggs is going to stay. I get the feeling as though Parramatta is still very much at the negotiating table with him and trying to convince him to come there as one of their marquee signings. So
that's what Parramatta needs to fix.
Like what Kevy's got to try and do now, I don't think there's a quick fix. I don't think you can just click your fingers and all of a sudden that they're going to be better next year.
But my point is this. By paying overs to keep players within your club, you're not actually fixing the problem.
No.
You're just extending it. So they're not taking steps now to start to fix it.
No, if you're extending the players and you're paying what you believe if you're playing for players that you believe are going to help you win games of footy, I think, you know, the Milfords million-dollar deals, they're the guys, you know, that have to move on, and they're going to clear up some money, and he's got to get guys in there that are winners. He's got to get guys in there that Kevy knows that he can win with.
What about some players? Are they in the market for players that aren't already there? Say, for instance, Gordy, somebody like Adam Reynolds.
Oh, you'd think that they'd have to have a look at every position. I think, you know, their sixes and seven have struggled, no matter who's been there in the last 3 or 4 years. Darius Boyd, he left fullback. Zarko is an accomplished goal kicker. He's safe, but he doesn't have that X factor, you know, that a Pappenhausen or Tedesco or Latrell Mitchell has at the back. So I'm pretty sure that they need to strengthen that position as well. I reckon that's two that should be a priority. And I think Katoni Steg should be a priority too. I reckon he's a $700,000 player, and I think that's what they've asked him for, you know.
But by rights, Steg should be just staying at the Broncos for at least the same, if not a little bit less, of what other clubs are coming in with, if he was happy there. I know they're going after on the quiet Mitchell Moses, go up there and play halfback, but that's, yeah, they're doing that straight after they've just signed Brody Croft. Like, I know.
But they might think that Dearden might be going to the Cowboys with Chad Townsend. You know, so there is a fair bit of movement up here, and, you know, their stock's getting raided as well. So, yeah, look, it's a tough one, Anthony. I know that they need change, and I'm not in there, but, you know, and one manager had 15 players, and Kevy's got a huge mess to clean up, and hopefully he can do it and get some players in there that he likes, keeps. And you know what? Wayne Bennett said it. Mate, like Wayne Bennett said it about 20 years ago. If they don't want to be at your joint, you don't want them there.
Yeah.
Right?
The problem with the Bronx, the way I see it, is it's going to take great discipline to rebuild the club. And they have to be really – it's like trying to buy a house now. You might want the house, but you got to be disciplined to pay the right price. Yep. And so they can't lose their nerve, panic that they need to get some quality players and start paying 100 or 200 more than what the player's worth because they need to get a kill. Because the minute you start doing that, what ends up happening is you push your salary cap out of shape. Now, it's already in a bad spot.
But the bloke that signed all these players is still there. So it's not going to change. And that roster management's not going to change until the recruitment guy's not there.
Yeah, I get that, mate. But that's where Kevy's got to sit down and just, you got to have a clear idea of what a player's worth and the discipline to not go over it. And if you lose him, you lose him. And then the flip side, I think what they've got to start looking at doing is a little bit like Saints have done, where Saints are going, the high one, this one. And they've got to look at what Saints are doing, where they get like the Josh Maguire's.
Well, at the moment, Saints have got Andrew McCullough. At the moment, Jack Bird's another one. They've got four or five players that they've got other clubs actually chipping in for part of their freight.
That's how you fix your cap, at least short term, and you start to get a little bit of relief because you've got
Billy Burns will play for St. George Illawarra this afternoon. He's another one. He's from Penrith.
Yeah, and that's what they've got to start doing. But that takes clever manipulation of your cap. And I don't know if the Broncos right now have got anyone there who can do it.
Well, we might see a bit of movement in that space, like Gordy just touched on the recruitment. I think when the Brisbane new CEO starts, Dave Donaghy, which is the beginning of May, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in and he's got to make some changes in that area.
Well, let's say for the sake of the argument here, it's going to take 2 or 3 years, maybe more, to work through these issues and get them back on level playing field with everyone else. And then, of course, you know, they're still talking about putting another team in Brizzy in the next 18 months. I mean, this is going to get give a new franchise in Brizzy a great leg up on anyone who, A, isn't a Broncos fan anyway, or B, is a little bit of disgruntled Broncos fan at the moment, Gordy.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think Queensland's starving for footy. We get the magic round in a couple of weeks here, and, you know, there'll be over 100,000 Queenslanders and obviously New South Wales, and people travel for it as well. But, you know, to have a great stadium like we got and only have 12 NRL games out of it a year, and that's the Broncos home games, or 13 home games, I don't think that it's enough. And we're pretty starved for high-quality rugby league here. So to have another team here...
Even with the Broncos.
Sorry?
Sorry, sorry, Gordon. Oh,
what, so you laugh at my expense, eh?
Yeah, I am. You don't like it? Bad
no,
luck.
No, I love it. No, yeah, brave. Oh, mate, you know, mate, I love you happy for the first time in 7 weeks. You know, mate, I like to see a smile on your face.
He's brave when you're 1,000 kilometres up.
Oh, mate, well, mate, like he was like a nervous cat last week. Look at him.
No.
Mate, he was sweating bullets. Mate, sweating bullets last week.
Honestly.
And kept on turning just in case if Benji walked into the studio. You got a lot of enemies, Maroon.
Sorry, were you were starting to make sense there about the Broncos. Will you go back to that?
Yeah, well, like, we're starved. We got a beautiful stadium here and it gets a game of footy through the footy season every second week. So, like, I think there is enough room, but as what Villani said on our show a couple of weeks ago, we've got to make sure that it doesn't hurt any other club and it's affordable, you know, and no team suffers for us to get a second team in Queensland.
Okay, well...
second team in Brisbane.
We'll leave that there. We've got a game going on here at the SCG at the moment. The Australian Defence Force taking on Turkey. Australian Defence Force leads 30-0 with 11 minutes to go in this game, and then of course at 4 o'clock today, Roosters play the Dragons here. We'll call that one for you. At the other game, which is taking place as we speak, the Tigers and Manly. Manly lead that game 18-6. All those scores are thanks to Tyre Power with Triceps Hooper, Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, and Maroon. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Now, of course, we've got two more games to get through tonight. We've got both those games for you on the Triple M network as well. Of course, at 4 o'clock, it's Roosters-Dragons, the traditional Anzac Day game. And then tonight, it's the Broncos taking on the Warriors, which we'll have our call team on hand for you, that one as well. I think Gordy might be working on that game with be either Dobbo or Andy Raymond, who has recently joined the call team. But we'll get to that one. Anzac Day, what about, do you get many opportunities? I haven't had the opportunity for years, Hoops, when it's Anzac Day and I'm not working. So a bit of two-up and all the great stuff that goes with Anzac Day.
Yeah, no, similar to yourself, Anthony, we're generally always working. And to be fair, I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. Like, I love the fact that I get to work on this day. It's such a special day on the calendar. It generally produces cracking contests. But the last time that I did have a spin or two up, I think my little mate over here and I ended up in the... We went to the Dawn service, then we went to the Rocks very early doors.
Yeah.
And we're having a couple of cold beers at about sort of 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Paul went on this streak where he got the two-up paddle and was just coming in spinner deluxe. What'd you get, 10 in a row? Or
11 in a row.
11 in a row of heading them up, right?
God.
And he just absolutely
Normie Proven
cleaned
will start
up.
Calling you. Normie Proven.
Yeah, it was a fat day.
That
very
was
good.
So hang on, did you 5 or 6 years ago now.
You had your first skewy at 9 o'clock at the Rocks.
Oh, it would have been probably before then.
Right, wow. Yeah, well, there seems to be no time frame on Anzac Day. Go for your life. Have one before you get out of bed.
Like Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Drink responsibly. But anyway, you might get the opportunity to go and do
something. No, I'm actually going to... when I finish and happy hour begins, I'll be... I'll be having my own happy hour. Ben and Shane Walker, the brothers, father and uncle of Sam Walker, have got a box here at the SCG. And Benny Eichen rang me up and said, mate, they want you to come and have a beer. I think they just need to just see if it's real what he tells them. I don't know. But he said, they want you to come and have a beer, so I'm going to go up there and join them and watch the footy and... had the dulcet tones of Dan Ganane calling on the box somewhere.
Well, I was going to say to you, Paul, be yourself, but I don't want you going there snarling at these people. Good enough to ask you. What about you, Gordy? Have you got
the whole side of me, Anthony, you don't see.
Gordy, have you got any Anzac Day memories or thoughts on what you like to do?
Well, it's always footy. I mean, I love going to the games. I'm calling the game tonight with Andy Raymond, the Storm and the Warriors. So looking forward to that. But I just think it's a special day. And we heard Trent Merrin talking about diggers come and talk. And I remember, you know, this old digger talking to us one day, and I didn't know why they were called diggers. And he said, if we didn't dig, we didn't survive.
Wow.
You know, and we take it for granted. And I remember Choppy Close one day, I was going to play my first test match, and he comes in and Chopper used to be really emotional, and he starts telling a story. He goes, you're staying in a five-star joint. You've got $2,000 worth of clothes on. And I started adding it up. Well, I had a pair of RMs, had the moleskins, you know, and they give you the blazer and all that, trying to add it up. And he goes, and blokes younger than you went away in a rusty tin boat to fight for your freedom so you can go out there and represent your country tonight. And so, you know, and that always rung in my head, you know, I'm on Anzac Day, and Choppy Close was great at those type of speeches. And, you know, I think it's a special, there wouldn't be an Aussie that's growing up here that doesn't have a grandfather, an uncle, or, no, someone that has gone away to fight for us.
And that's the reality of it too. Like, I went to Iraq many, many years ago when Operation Freedom, whatever it was called. And during that, like, I remember one day we're at one of the camps in Baghdad, and the soldiers came in. They'd all been out on patrol, and they came in. And when they come in, there's a big sort of 44-gallon drum that's on its side with a hole cut in it and sand in it, and you got to discharge your rifle and point in the barrel and click it just to show that there's nothing there.
Right.
So it's a safety thing. One poor bugger one night went bang, everyone hit the deck, thought, Jesus, what's going on there? Yeah, and he got punished for it, he got fined for it.
Wow.
But you look at how young, I remember looking at these guys and having covered rugby league for some time, and I was really struck by two things. One, how young they were, and they looked much younger than footballers. A lot of them are 18, 19, 20 years old. And second to being how young they were, it was how mature they were. Because they were in a place where if you made an error, you stuffed up, you acted like a dickhead, it could cost you your life or your mate's life. And so they learned very quickly to have responsibility and to how to handle that. And that's when, that's sort of, I think, sometimes my frustration when players act up here and you think, mate, like, you're old enough to know better, and people try to excuse it. Oh, mate, he's just a young kid, let him go, don't worry about anything. Well, hang on, they were young kids over there too.
Mm.
Yeah. But they learned the rules. They were taught how to behave, and it's really confronting seeing how young these kids are.
Yeah.
To a point, Paul, Wayne would always make us and go do army training. And I was lucky enough, I grew up in Townsville, and there was a big barracks up there called the Laverack Barracks, so... You know, I grew up and played footy, and, you know, a lot of my mates, their dad served in the army and that, but we'd have to go and do army camps.
Mm.
And we're fit, and, you know, we're running 12 or 14, 400 metres or running 8.5K through the hill. But the army camp for 3 days would break us, would break us down, you know.
What would you have to do?
Oh, well, like, they drop you off 10K out, you're running, you've got to pick up all the boxes, then you carry your mate through scrub. Like, one day they woke us up with fake gunfire at 2 a.m, and by the time we got to the top of the hill where there was breakfast, it was 7. You know, so it's just sleep, like, it's just sleep deprivation, food, no food, and pushing wheelbarrows and all that kind of stuff, and big trailers up hills, and just doing what they would do. You know what I mean? Like, made out when they got somewhere, they just, you know, just with their mates, and they got to keep on trekking, and they got to get in there by foot with their big backpacks and no sleep and little bit of food, and, you know, that's what they do for their job.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Paul, we'll let you go, mate, because we want to have happy hour here. Benji Marshall's coming in. You're going to share a box with the Walker brothers.
See you later, young Normie. Normie Proven. 11 in a row. Look at him.
And mate, we'll catch you on NRL 360.
Mate, I tell you what, the 12th one was costly too.
Was it really?
You loaded up on it.
Because you're allowed to pull out after, I think it was every 3, wasn't the hoops? Yeah. You're allowed to pull out. So after 9, we pulled out a bit, and it would have been a lot better if we got the 12th home. Yeah.
Well, 11's a pretty good effort. Paul, anyway, we'll catch you on NRL 360.
Yes, you will.
And we'll be joined very shortly by Benji Marshall to take us through the final about 45 minutes. We're going to close off early today because of the Anzac Day commemoration ahead of the game. But it's James Triceps Hooper, it's Gordy Tallis, and it's Maroon. And Benji will join us after this as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.